this text here, this becomes the third time that Jesus has reminded his disciples clearly what he's going to do. What is Jesus going to do? He's going to Jerusalem. What's going to happen to him? Oh, he's going to be killed. He's going to be handed over to the Gentiles. They're going to spit on him. They're going to mock him. They're going to crucify him. They're going to kill him. But on the third day, remember that he's going to rise then from the dead. So we'll hit that, and when we come to that these verses here in a minute, then we'll look at those five will statements of that passage. But I want to begin there in verse number 32 again, and the Bible says that they were on the road, they were going to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them, and notice very carefully here the text. It says, they were astonished, but those who followed him were afraid. Now, friends, if we look at those verses very clearly, it would seem to say that there's actually two groups here that are traveling with Jesus. There's this larger group, and when Jesus then begins to tell them exactly what he's going to do, that he's going to Jerusalem, he's going to be crucified, he's going to go through all of this, they're astonished, but then there is that inner group of disciples, and the Bible says that they were afraid. Now, I want you to picture in your mind with me for just a moment. We understand that as we go through the Gospel of Mark and we read the other gospel records, that Jesus then is going to come to a place where he's going to be crucified, right? And yet, as we realize that as Jesus is going to be crucified, that he's going to tell them very clearly these ins and outs. I'm going to move away from that fan, by the way. I get them the signal that I'm making a sound. Sorry about that. Right? Sorry about it. I thought kids were running upstairs. Said it was my fan. Sorry about that. Let me go back to verse number 42. So they were on the road, and they were going to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them. Notice again, they were astonished, but those who followed him were afraid. So two groups. Jesus is getting closer to Jerusalem, and we understand that when he does go to the cross and becomes the Lamb of God, that he will be crucified during the time of the Passover. So the Passover was one of those times when all of the children of Israel, they would make their journey to Jerusalem. When we study next week, we're going to find out that Jesus is close to a place called Jericho. And Jericho, you remember, is right just north of the Dead Sea. And right north of the Dead Sea, so the Dead Sea and Jerusalem is about 20 miles apart. And when Jesus, when the Bible says that they were going up to Jerusalem, literally they were doing that. So the Dead Sea is about 1,000 feet below sea level. Jerusalem is about 3,000 feet above sea level. And in that 20 miles, you're going up 4,000 feet in elevation. So they were going up to Jerusalem. So you can imagine as Jesus was traveling along with his disciples that there were other pilgrims that got on board. And as these other pilgrims are traveling along, there's no doubt that some of these pilgrims did not recognize Jesus, right? And they had heard him say these same things many times over. I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to be handed over. I'm going to be killed. I'm going to be spit on. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to do all of these things, right? And so the Bible says that here that this group is astonished. Now, why in the world do you think that they would be astonished? Well, they're probably astonished of the fact that Jesus himself would even be headed to Jerusalem. Now, hold your hand there. I'm going to take you over to a passage in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 21, I'm going to pick up reading here something that is probably pretty similar to what these people were astonished at. Acts chapter 21, and the context here is really the end journey of Paul. You remember that according to the book of Acts that Paul had taken three of those missionary journeys. And on this last time, his mind, his heart is set to go to Jerusalem. And notice here that there's some things here that the people say. In Acts 21, beginning again verse number 10, it says, "And while we were staying," this is Luke the author with Paul, and he says, "And while we were staying there many days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea, who came to us, took Paul's belt, tied his own feet and hands, and said, 'This is what the Holy Spirit says. In this same way, the Jews in Jerusalem will bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the Gentile hands. And when we heard this, both we and the local people begged him not to go to Jerusalem. Then Paul replied, "What are you doing, weeping and breaking my heart? For I'm ready not only to be bound, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name then of our Lord Jesus." And since he could not be persuaded, we stopped talking and simply said, "The Lord's will be done." So even here in Paul's life, remember that when he made that decision to go to Jerusalem, that he realized that what waited ahead of him was death and suffering and all the pain. And yet, what could stop Paul? Nothing could stop him. In the same way, that's what Jesus is doing. Remember that Jesus then has made his mind up, that his time has come. And remember that we left him in Caesarea Philippi, and he's making that journey to the cross. And the closer that he gets to the cross, the more astonished these people are. Why would you ever want to go to Jerusalem? Why would you ever want to be handed over? Why would you want someone to spit on you and kick you and pull your beard out and cuss you and do all of these negative things? Why would you ever want to die in a criminal's death, right? That would be the questions that they were so astonished with. Follow along with me over in Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. In Luke chapter 9, in verse number 51, this is not the parallel passage, but it is close to the passage that we're studying in Mark chapter 10. Notice here what the scripture says in Luke chapter 9, in verse 51. It says, "When the days were coming to close for him to be taken up, he was determined to journey to Jerusalem." Now friends, that's a pretty powerful verse, right? So when Jesus then got close to Jerusalem, and when people began to recognize him, they were astonished. Why would you want to do that? Why do you want to go up to Jerusalem and to face the death, the burial, and all of these things, right? They were astonished that Jesus then would actually ever follow through with those things. Go back with me to Mark chapter 10 now. Mark chapter 10. So our verse says, again, that they were astonished. And notice the second group. There were those that were following were astonished. But then those who followed closer were afraid of that. So you had people that were astonished that Jesus would go and face the religious people, right? But there were those that were following maybe a little closer, his disciples, and they were afraid. Why would they be afraid? Well, remember that they're close to Jesus. And man, if they do that to Jesus, they may do that to me, right? And so, man, there was a group that was astonished, and then those disciples that were close to him, they were even more afraid of that because they realized that if they do it to Jesus, right, they may do it to me as well. If you're with me this morning, say amen. Amen. Now, go back with me. I'm going to backtrack just a moment here to verse number 42. Notice in Mark 10:42, it says they were on the road, they were going to Jerusalem, and notice where Jesus is at here. The Bible says that Jesus is walking ahead of these individuals, right? He's walking ahead of them. Now, friends, what does that show us about Jesus? If Jesus is walking ahead of them, then it's the implication is that what he's done is that he's turned around and he has faced these individuals, and Jesus then is walking backwards. And as Jesus is walking backwards, as he's facing his disciples, remember that ultimately what he's doing in this passage is that he's leading his disciples. Friends, we have a God who leads us, right? We don't have a God who drives us. We don't have a God who sits in heaven and gives us long lists of things that we're to do, right? No, Jesus is here to lead us and to guide us and to help us then through the highways and the byways of life. And I want to build that for just a moment here. As Jesus was walking ahead of them, he is leading them. Now, turn over with me to the Gospel of John for just a moment. In John chapter 6, I want to read this verse. John chapter 6 and verse number 37. John 6, 37. Jesus' words here, and he says, "Everyone the Father gives to me will come to me, and the one who comes to me will never be cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose none of them that he has given me, but I should raise them up on the last day." Jesus goes on to those passages that simply talks about that my sheep hear my voice. They follow me, right? And so here we have in Mark chapter 10, we have Jesus leading. Who is he leading? Well, the answer to that is that he's leading his sheep. He's walking ahead of them, and he is speaking to them, and they're following him. And the reason that they are following him is the fact that they are part of the family of God. They're part of the fold of God. They're part of the sheep of God. And friends, it is always easy for sheep to follow their shepherd, right? Now, you were here last Sunday morning. Some of you were, some of you weren't. But anyway, we looked at the rich young ruler. And remember, the rich young ruler was a man who came to the right person, and the rich young ruler had the right questions, right? He asked the question, "What must I do to have eternal life?" And as he came to the right person with the right question, Jesus gave him the right answer. And the right answer was just simply that of giving up everything that he had, selling all that he had, and give to the poor, right? Go, sell, give, and follow. And that was the problem. The man was powerless. He was not able to go, sell, give, and to follow because Jesus was not the Lord of his life. And when he heard what Jesus said, what did he do? Did he continue to follow Jesus? No, he didn't continue to follow him. The Bible says that he turned and he walked away from Jesus, and the Bible says that he was grieving in his heart. But not sheep. My sheep have been given to me by the Father. My sheep hear my voice. My sheep follow me, right? Remember that as part of the fold of God and the understanding of who we are, remember that we will always follow our shepherd. So Jesus, in our passage in John chapter 10, the Bible says that he is walking ahead of them and he is leading them. Go back with me, please, to Mark chapter 10, and now let's look at verse number 33. Mark 10, 33. So here the scripture says, listen, Jesus said, "We're going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests, the scribes, and they will condemn him to death, and then they will hand him over to the Gentiles, and they will mock him, they'll spit on him, flog him, and kill him, and then he's going to raise them on 3 days. Friends, notice with me very carefully there in verse number 33. What is that word that your scripture says? My translation says, listen. Your translation may use the word something like look, pay attention, right? Now, what is Jesus doing here? And if you like to mark in your Bibles, then you could just simply go through there with your pen and notice all of the will statements. There are five will statements in those verses. For example, there in verse number 33, Jesus said, "The Son of Man will be handed over." It says, "They will condemn him." It says, "He will be handed to the Gentiles." "They will mock him." And then the fifth one is that he will rise on the third day. The five will statements there that Jesus is making. So what are those will statements? What is Jesus doing by giving us all of those statements? Well, it is clear that what Jesus then is doing is saying, look, everything that has been written about me, you need to listen. You need to pay attention because this is the Word of God. Jesus is not making this up as he's going through this. These are things that God has established in for his Son to go through. I have a verse over in Luke for just a moment. Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18 and verse number 31. Luke chapter 18, verse 31. Listen to what this passage says. It says, then Jesus took the 12 aside and told them, listen, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written through the prophets about the Son of Man will be accomplished. So friends, we understand that when Jesus came to this very important moment and he was telling his disciples, he's leading his disciples, right? Remember that my sheep hear my voice. All that the Father has given to me will come to me, right? We follow him, right? He's leading us. And when Jesus then is leading these men to go to Jerusalem, right? Who would ever go up there after all that Jesus is going through? The sheep will follow, right? If you are a follower of Christ, then we have no problems then following our great shepherd. Now, let me go back now to our passage in Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, let me give you these will statements real quick. I like what one commentary mentioned on these five will statements. Some would say what Jesus does here in these five will statements is simply the fact that what he's doing is that he is giving us his printed brochure. What Jesus is doing is that he's giving us his schedule, and it's all printed out. And what we can find is, what we look see is in these five I will statements, I'm sorry, these five will statements that Jesus then is going to unfold exactly what he is getting ready to go through. Go back to verse 33. Mark 10:33. Listen, we are going to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man, first of all, will be handed over to the chief priest and scribes. Is Jesus making it up? Nope, Jesus is not making it up. Remember, this is what the Old Testament says, right? All kinds of Old Testament passages that if we were to spend a little time, we could connect all of these dots and so forth. So Jesus is just reminding these men, this is what the Word of God says. Now, I'm going to show you the fulfillment of that because I think it's very important to kind of look at it. Hold your hand there in Mark chapter 10, and I want to turn over to chapter 14, Mark chapter 14. And if you'll leave your Bibles open over in chapter 14, I'm going to go back and forth real quick and to show you how Jesus said it. And if Jesus said it, then you can definitely see the fulfillment of that. Chapter 14, Mark chapter 14 and verse number 43. Notice here what Mark 14, 43 says. While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, suddenly arrived, and with him was a mob with swords and clubs. Notice the Bible says that they were from the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders. Remember, that's exactly what Jesus says. Listen, the Son of Man, what is he going to do? He's going to be handed over. And he's going to be handed over then to the chief priests, the scribes, and all of these individuals. And dear friends, Jesus said it. You can mark it down. You can turn over to the fulfillment of it. And that's exactly what happened. Now, friends, what is amazing is that if there was ever an individual or ever a group that would have known the Word of God and what the Word of God said, what the Word of God prophesied, it would have been these scribes, these Pharisees, these religious people, right? And so they had all of the Old Testament, and they spent all of their time studying it. And even Jesus himself in one passage says, you think that you have eternal life by studying the Scriptures, right? You think because you spend all of your time studying the Scripture that you will have eternal life in that, right? Eternal life was never given in the Word of God itself. Eternal life is given by Christ himself. And Jesus said, everything that was written about me. And so Jesus then is coming along and saying, look, here's what has been written about me, and everything was written about me is coming to, it is going to happen. And there it is in chapter 14. The second thing that Jesus, the second will, if you go back to chapter 10, Mark chapter 10, Jesus said the Son of Man will be handed over. Was he handed over? Say yes. He was handed over to the chief priests and the scribes. And what are they going to do to him? The Bible says they will condemn him to death. 14:53. Look with me in Mark 14:53. Notice there in verse 14:53, the Bible says, actually, I'm not going to read all the way through that. That's where it begins in 14:53. But if you look down with me to verse number 63, the high priest tore his clothes and he says, "Why do you still need witnesses? You have heard this blasphemy. What is your decision?" And they all condemned him in deserving that of death. So friends, who condemned Jesus? Who was it? The Jewish people, right? You think that, man, that's bad, right? That should end it all. When these Jewish people came along, the scribes, the Pharisees, religious people, they condemned him to death, it's over and so forth. But that's not all that was written in the Old Testament about Jesus. Going back to that third will statement in Mark chapter 10, that he will be handed over, he was handed over. He will be condemned, he was condemned, right? When we look at the fact that the second part of verse 33 says that they will hand him over to the Gentiles. Look with me in 15:1, Mark chapter 15:1. "And as soon as it was morning, the chief priest had a meeting with the elders, the scribes, and the whole Sanhedrin. And they tied Jesus up, and they led him away, and they handed him over to Pilate." They handed him over to the Gentiles. So Jesus then was handed over to the religious people. Jesus was condemned by them. But the Old Testament has to bring in the Gentiles as well, right? When we look at the world, and the question is, who was it that condemned Jesus? Who was it that crucified Jesus? The answer is, the whole world did. The Jews and the Gentiles alike, right? Friends, if it hadn't been those Gentiles, it would have been us today. If it wasn't those Jews of that day, it would have been Jews of today, right? So the whole world, Jews and Gentiles alike, took the Son of God, the incarnated Son of God, and they nailed him to the cross and they condemned him to death. And they did that, why? Because of their hatred, humanly speaking, for him. But ultimately, God used that to bring about the salvation of the human race. Mark chapter 10 once again. Hang with me, I'm almost finished. The Bible says in verse number 34 that not only was he handed over, but it says, "And they will mock him, spit on him, flog him, and they will kill him." Friends, when you go back again to chapter 15 and you read down through there, friends, that's exactly what Jesus then, what he goes through, and he goes through it from the Gentiles. They spit on him, they mocked him, they crucified him, they nailed him to the cross. And so there's the religious people of the day, the secular people of the day, the entire world then took Jesus and they nailed him to that old rugged cross. But there's the fifth will. What was the fifth will that was written about him? "Everything that was written about me is going to be accomplished." Everything, it was all detailed out. But there's the fifth will. What was the fifth thing that Jesus said that would happen? Oh yeah, he was going to rise then from the dead. Chapter 16, let me read that and we'll lead into the invitation here with these verses. In chapter 16, beginning in verse number 1, it says, "When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome, they brought spices so that they could anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they went to the tomb at sunrise, and they were saying to one another, 'Who's going to roll away the stone from the entrance to the tomb for us?' And looking up, they observed that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. And when they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were amazed and alarmed. 'Don't be alarmed,' he said to them. 'You're looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has been resurrected. He is not here. And see the place where they put him, but go tell the disciples and Peter, he's going ahead of you to Galilee, and there you will see him just as he has told you.' And so they went away and started running from the tomb because of the trembling and the astonishment overwhelmed them, and they said nothing to anyone since they were so afraid. Friends, there it is, the great will, the will above all of the wills, and that was the will that I will be resurrected. I will rise then from the dead. And friends, that's where the gospel is, amen? That Jesus came to die for us. He came and he was willing to suffer at the hands of the religious people. He was willing to suffer at the hands of the Gentiles as well. And what was on his heart and what was on his mind, friends, we were, right? The Bible says that he died, and when he died for many. And friends, I'm here to proclaim to you today that he died for you. And I would invite you today, if you've never invited Jesus in your heart, you've never accepted him as your Lord and Savior, that you would come today and accept him and let him be the Lord of your life. Let us pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the scriptures that we've studied today, and Lord, we have looked at your word, the things that were written about you. And Jesus, just as you turned around on the road that led to Jericho, and you instructed your disciples, Father, you instruct us today. And Father, it may be today that there's someone here that doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior. Maybe they're holding on to their sin. Maybe, Lord, when they look at their lives and they think about you, Lord, that there's just a great separation between you and them. And Lord, they've heard the gospel today. They've heard the fact that Jesus, you were willing to go up to Jerusalem. Jesus, you were willing to die on the cross of Calvary. Jesus, you were willing to take my place upon that cross, and you took my sin. My sin was nailed to you, and Lord, you agonized there for my sin. And Lord, you took my place. You were my representative. And Lord, you died at 3 o'clock on that Good Friday, and you were put in the tomb. And on that Sunday morning, you said over and over again to those disciples that you would rise. And Lord, we have looked at that today, the gospel message. And Lord, if there's someone here today that doesn't know that power of that resurrection that changes us, that brings us from people that are self-centered to Christ-centered, that we would see that great demonstration of your Spirit working, calling us out to believe and trust in you as our Lord and Savior. Jesus, thank you for going all the way to Calvary for me. Thank you, Jesus, for taking my place upon the old rugged cross and dying that I could have life. And Lord, we thank you Father, you accepted your Son's sacrifice, and it was paid. He paid everything that we owe today. Lord, pour your Spirit out today here in this congregation, here in these people's lives, and may we see your glory and your power in salvation today. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand with me. Terry's going to lead us an invitation, and I would invite you today, come to Jesus.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still.
I want to invite you, if you're interested in helping with our children's ministry, Miss Carrie has a lunch prepared for us, and so we invite you to come and stay and be a part of that. Don't forget about our Bible studies on Wednesday, 6:30. We have a Bible study for every group. Hope you'll come back and be a part of that. Let's have our closing prayer today and ask God's blessing as we live for the Lord. Kevin, you want to pray for us?